Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 144 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
It's good. It's early. We're recording at a very early time. I feel like I don't have my caffeinated voice yet. But
you got a great voice. You got a good morning voice. It's good.
I am a morning person. So we're talking about friendship today and mom friends, which has been a hotly requested topic lately from our listeners. So I'm excited about this.
It is one of those perennial questions. I feel like that it's always goes hand in hand with motherhood and particularly new motherhood. So happy to do this.
Yeah. And we've done it a couple other times in a couple different ways. But with, you know, over 150 episodes in our archives, it's worth revisiting. And so I'm excited about the way we're going to tackle it today. We're going to talk about this idea of the quote unquote mom tribe, which I think is a little problematic. And we'll get into why. I think some moms feel like you have to have a certain kind of tribe. And if you don't, you have to be on the lookout for one. So we might like bust up that myth a little bit. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the types of friends that every mom needs or that we think they do. And we got amazing listener suggestions because I posted this on both Facebook and Instagram and everyone's ideas were so great. So we're going to throw out several of those ideas. So.
Really excited about that. But first, we're going to talk about our sponsor, Bissell Bark Bath. Yes, I said. Bark bath. This is awesome. I'm so excited about this product because I have a dog and she's kind of a smelly dog. Like she's one of those dogs that gets real houndy smelling pretty fast.
Rank.
And she sheds a lot. Yes, rank. And I have not yet found a way to bathe her that is not an enormous pain. Like it's winter here, so I can't take her outside. If I take her in my bathroom, there's just hair literally everywhere. And then getting her to the groomer is kind of a pain. They're expensive. And also like, I don't want a hairy rank dog in my car.
Right. Oh, that's
so
true.
All of those things create a problem. So the Bissell Bark Bath actually is like a mobile device that allows you to bathe your pet with no mess.
No mess.
I know this sounds crazy, but it's like an all-in-one system. You can use it anywhere in your house. So you don't have to like put the dog in the bathtub. And it can it works with any length of fur and uses a no-rinse shampoo, so you don't need to worry about rinsing. It is revolutionary. Sarah, talk about it.
Okay, so Bissell sent me one, which was awesome. And so I've talked about Xander, my puppy, on the show before. He is a doodle, so he has hair and not fur, and it gets long. And if it gets too long and he's not bathed at home, he has to like get a super short shaved haircut at the groomer. So my only alternatives are to take him super often to the groomer, which is expensive. And technically he doesn't really need grooming. He just needs to be kind of bathed and brushed more often. And this kind of threw me for a loop because I hadn't had a dog like that before. So I was seriously blown away at how I was not wet at all. You know, when you bathe a dog, like you are way more wet than
Have to change your clothes afterwards and probably take a shower.
Let me just really quickly tell you what it looks like. It sort of looks like a giant dust buster for your dog or like a giant, like, you know, steam cleaner. Not giant, giant for a dust buster. And you use the nozzles specially designed to kind of get under the fur where all the stink is. And my dog also didn't freak out. Like he was fine with it. And so there's suction that kind of pulls the dirt away. That no rinse shampoo goes in. And I was not wet. My bathroom wasn't wet. You seriously could use it in your kitchen, anywhere.
That's crazy. Okay, so everyone's going to want to try one of these out, I think, and they can. If they go to Bissell.com/mom, you can use a coupon code to get two bottles of the free no-rinse shampoo that comes along with your order, which is cool because that's part of the magic of it.
Yep.
You don't have to rinse afterwards. So again, that's Bissell, Bissell.com/mom, and use the coupon code MOM at checkout to get those two free bottles of shampoo. I think everyone should check this out if they have a dog because I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, no more stinky dogs and no more like tail shaking wet all over the everywhere.
I'm having like one of those reactions right now when you said that, the visceral like, dirty dog water all over me. Yay.
Oh, yes. Okay, so let's get into our first part of this episode. So I'm going to just kind of, maybe this is just me, but this is how I feel like the internet and social media has made mom friends seem. I feel like we're sort of sold this story that everybody's got like a tribe, like a big group of mom friends that you go to girls' nights out with, you have big play groups with, you go on fun vacations, and you have this like big group sort of uniformly formed and full of the same kind of friendships. And if you don't have that tribe, then you ought to be on the lookout for one. And I feel like maybe that's come out of, you know, people really do have these wonderful supportive groups of friends, and we're totally not going to be knocking that. But I just feel like it's a little more dynamic the way these things ebb and flow over the course of your life. And I feel like somehow this tribe has become not artificial, but this like,
this, it's a mythical thing.
This
it's like
mythical
this,
thing. Yeah. That's a great word.
It's a legend. Yeah.
This legendary thing that we all need to be on the hunt for. So I kind of wanted to unpack that a little bit and just maybe reassure our listeners that not everybody has a big tribe. Not all tribes are as maybe as, I don't know, tight as they seem.
Yeah, I was going to say close, and also not as active, because I know a lot of people do have tribes that barely ever see each other, you know, and your tribe might be made up of a lot of people who don't interact with each other.
Right.
So your personal tribe could be five people who never speak to
each
other.
That's definitely, we're going to get into kind of how our friendships have worked. But I definitely feel like I have the support of a tribe, but they're not actually people who hang out with each other. They're just people who fill my various friendship needs. So I don't know. Lately we've been hearing from listeners that this is kind of a pain point. Like, you know, I asked recently on social media, like, what's one thing you're struggling with right now as a mom? And a big one was, I feel like I haven't found my people. And a lot of it is because maybe I had kids later than my friends, or I had kids earlier than my friends, or now I'm staying home and I was in the corporate world for so long. And so now I need to, quote unquote, find my tribe. So I think that's kind of just what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, is whether or not that's like as simple as it seems from the outside. And, you know, I don't think that it is. So
no, it's not. Well, it's one of those it's one of those imaginary aspirational things that gets kind of created on the internet and then sort of reinforced over and over again in social media. And so then you get the idea that everybody else really has that. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you or wrong with your situation. And so we like to bust those myths up whenever we can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in my experience, whenever you're on the outside or perceived outside of a group, it's really easy to assume that everyone knows each other, everyone likes each other and is like equally friends with each other, and that you're the only one who isn't in the group. But it sounds so kind of fundamental, but really every single person in that group that you're observing from the outside is an outsider in some way. They're either new to the group, or they're on the outs with the group, or they're not fulfilled by the group. So I don't know. I think that's kind of important to remind people.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I feel like tribes change over time. And Megan, maybe you can kind of speak to how this worked for you. But the reality is this is way more dynamic than like you find your sorority and then you're in for life.
So my, you know, I've been a mom for 20 years. So not only has my tribe changed dramatically over time, it's not even recognizable. I don't remember the names of the people I hung out with when Jacob was a baby. I really don't. I couldn't tell you who they were. Jake and Isaac, like, besides my sister and my best buddies, like, really, I don't remember them at all. Yeah. I think I met them on an email list or something. That was a thing back then. And one thing about that as well is what I also learned from that experience of having my kids fairly spread out is that the way I did friendship with numbers 3, 4, and 5 was completely different from the way I did friendship with number 1 and 2. Because I think that I was buying into that idea that I had to have like a big group. And so I was on this mission to find that group. And then once I was in the group, I found that there was a lot of kind of backbiting in the group, in my particular group. It came with like a whole set of pressures and drama and almost like expectations that I just decided I didn't want to repeat the second time around, like with my second sort of clump of kids, if you will.
Right.
Also then as a working mom with more children, I just didn't have the time to put into it. And so my second group of kids, I just ended up with a totally different approach to tribes. And it's really more like what you're talking about. Like, I found the people I needed in my life to fill certain roles without caring what in a relationship they had with each other. That was not, that had nothing to do with it.
It's
for
almost
me.
Like, and the first time you went for the club.
Right.
And the second time you went for the individuals.
I went for a la carte.
Yeah.
The second time. So I'm like, yes, like starting with William, I really was very careful about like just filling my time with people who built me up and supported me and filled a need that I had and I filled a need that they had without worrying about what that looked like as a larger. And that fits my personality. And I think yours too, Sarah. We've talked about how we both tend to have more close friend, like fewer close friendships rather than like big groups, and how now social media for me, because I am drawn to kind of, I do have sort of that outgoing extroverted personality, mm-hmm. but social media does make it possible to sort of scratch that itch without actually having to be good friends with all those people, which helps a lot too. So, I mean, and that's just us. Maybe for some people, like, that big group really is important, but it's never really worked out for me. And I think that's totally okay.
I think it's totally okay too. And I think if it does work out for you, and there's a lot of really great organizations like MOPS or, you know, new mom playgroups, like our friend Alec at the New Mom School. Those are fundamentally important to sort of trying out these new relationships, because I mean, we're going to argue in this episode that mom friends are super, super important. So it's not that you should throw in the towel and just not look for your tribe. I think it's just, maybe it's that the end goal needs to be revised a little bit. The end goal is that your cup is filled by this diverse group of people, whether or not it looks like a tribe or it looks like individual relationships. Now, you moved a lot also in those early years. Do you remember times where you felt like less fulfilled, like, oh gosh, I really need to go find a type of friend or a group?
The time when I was really obsessive about trying to find that tribe, like that big group, was when I was living in a town where I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. One of the benefits of those big groups, just like you said, is you try things out, you meet individual people that you want to form a stronger relationship with. One of the people I met in the playgroup ended up marrying my brother. So, you know, I have a habit of having my friends marry my brothers. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just, like, I didn't, I don't think I knew that about your other brother.
Yeah, no. But. Yep. Kelly was a friend of mine that I met from a playgroup. And then, I brought her into the family that way. But so all that said, you know, I think that's really valuable. But then I think where you get hung up sometimes is not cutting to the chase faster and making it work for you. Like figuring out who the person is you really want to connect with and then just proactively doing that. And maybe not doing the stuff you're only doing because you feel obligated to or hanging out with people that you don't connect with as much. Like you're not obligated to do anything ever.
It's like, that should be our show tagline. You are not obligated to do anything ever.
Yeah. So yes, at that time I was really, really, my sister wasn't anywhere nearby. My good friends didn't have kids yet and they didn't live nearby either. So I was really just lost. I really didn't have anyone. And so then I really did feel the pressure. And also, I feel like in those days, I was just a little more, I needed more support about things that, like, later I kind of just realized were normal. You know, like I really needed to sit and talk to other moms about teething and diapers and potty training and all and weaning and all those things. Like, I really needed.
I think most people do. I think that's a really common. Yeah,
sure.
And then maybe it's that when that kind of stuff falls away, you're left with sort of the golden nuggets of one or two friendships that really, really deserve to be built on top of that foundation and go beyond. And the rest can kind of fall away.
They just serve their purpose. You know, there are conversations. Yes. I remember sitting in a group of moms having great conversations and I can't picture their faces and I can't remember their names, but I know that that was important and helpful and formative for me. It's just that, you know, people come in and out of your life all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, what's that old saying? Sometimes they're there for a day and sometimes they're there for a lifetime. Yeah. So
I think that's a really, really good point. One thing that really helped me was realizing that there is a difference for me in having a really wide web of acquaintances. I noticed this when I moved from the Phoenix area to where I live now in Orange County. I feel really secure when I recognize and are recognized by, so both ways, kind of a lot of people. For some reason, it's, and where we lived in Arizona, this was hard. I lived right where like three different towns kind of overlapped and it was really spread out. So you didn't run into people you knew at the grocery store, even though I lived in the same area for almost 10 years. Now my life also changed. I went from a non-mom to a mom and other things, but there's something really comforting to me about seeing the same people in the same places and having overlap. Like I run into my neighbors at the gym and the people at the gym, their kids play sports with my kid, whatever that is. And I realize that is not the same thing as a tight knit mom tribe or friendship tribe, but it is actually something that's really important to me. It makes me feel like I live in the real world in a community. And it was so much easier for some reason when we moved to California. And that I think if you are feeling like you don't have a tribe, I wonder if it's worth asking if you feel like you're not rooted in your community, because I think they're a little bit different. My closest friendships are mostly not local. They're mostly with people who don't live in my town. But if I didn't have that web of acquaintances in my town, I would feel very unmoored. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so it's like,
no,
it's two different things. But for me, I need both. And maybe not everybody does. But I really like, it's one of the reasons we moved to a smaller elementary school, is I like when people know my kids and know me. But I don't really care if I'm super good friends with those people. I just like to know people and be known, as opposed to walking into every situation feeling like I'm seeing everyone for the first time. So that
was
like a big thing for me.
That's so interesting, because I almost was the opposite for a long time. Now I can't escape it. I'm on
the
radio.
You are the local celebrity.
Everybody knows who I am. Like I can't get away from it, but that was very uncomfortable for me. And for many years I flew under the radar and I kind of liked it that way. Like
right.
I liked that people, like I could just go to the gym and no one knew me. I don't know. It's weird because I really do like to, I don't mind recognizing people, but I don't necessarily want them to know me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So yeah, that was not super important to me. I do see the benefits of it though. And we can talk when we talk about our experiences, like with our, you know, how our friendships have changed and stuff over time. Like I think it'll come out interestingly for both of us, like the challenges that that tendency has led me to.
Yeah.
Of kind of hiding from people sometimes.
Right.
And you wouldn't think that about me based on my personality, but I do. Like I tend to kind of hide.
Yeah.
So, I think it's more of like an extrovert performer thing. Like I want to be on the stage and like do my thing and then walk off the stage and go away and no one talk to me.
Yeah. So, no, I can see that. And like, yeah, like I was saying, for me, it's mostly superficial. Like I don't really want to have long, deep conversations with any of those people. I just like that I run into people I know around my town, and I
you just
wouldn't have
nod and smile.
Yeah. And I don't have the small town background that you do, or if I do, it was from when I was really young. And so maybe I was yearning for that all those years living in big cities and big kind of sprawling metro areas. But I like it now. So do you want to kind of talk about how this has evolved for you over the years?
Yeah. Well, and you can as well, but you already did. So everybody kind of knows my story. Like I've got now some built-in friends that I've been close with throughout the years. Like my two best friends from high school actually had kids right around the time my youngest three were born.
Right. So we had the first two kind of solo, but then everybody caught
up. My sister was sort of my best buddy during that time because she had small kids then, and we really we spent a lot of time together and we lived in the same town. And now I live in the same town with my other besties. And so we've been really close, and I've always been lucky to have at least one person kind of that I'm really tight with that it's like I can hang out with. But those close relationships made me kind of lazy about making new friends. And also, like I said, I really like to kind of fly under the radar. And for a long time, I did that. I called myself like the phantom mom, where people knew I existed, but had never seen me. I just like
lady with all the kids.
Right. Yes.
Never around.
Yes. But it kind of made me a little lazy about making new friends. And so now that my kids are choosing their friends more and not having them chosen for them, like they're not hanging out with the people I select for them to hang out with because they're my friends' kids. They have their own friends. I have found that's a little bit of a disadvantage. Like, I don't know what's going on all the time. I just don't see the other moms all the time. So like when I do run into them, they'll bring something up that's totally news to me. Like, did you know so-and-so is coming to your house tonight? And I'm like, wait, what? This actually happened to me the other night. I ran into someone and she said, oh, hey, so I understand Jack's coming over to your house tonight. And I said, really? I didn't know that. So, you know, that it just makes me feel sometimes, although I'm very friendly with all, I've kind of gotten over my wanting to stick my head in the sand and not talk to anybody.
Right.
I'm friendly with everybody, but I'm not friends with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it does make me have to work a little harder. Just to maintain some idea of what's going on in those groups and to not have it kind of get, you know, just to be perfectly honest, not to get that feeling like everyone's talking about me because I'm the one that no one really knows about.
Right.
Like I don't like the idea that I'm this person of intrigue.
Right.
Or that I'm a topic of conversation at all. That makes me very uncomfortable. So anyway, the flip side of that is I think now that my kids are older, my friendships are really centered around my adult interests, like theater and my job and my outside, you know, work and like you and that kind of thing. And so I feel very fulfilled. I don't feel like I never have to suffer a lonely evening if I don't want to. But I have to balance that with the knowledge that I don't have like a tight knit circle of friends who are my older kids'
Right. Like the kid centered
friends, parents. Right.
I wonder if that's pretty typical, though. I mean, you're the mom who's been a mom for 20 years, and I don't have a lot of other close friends who are in that stage. Yeah. But I wonder if that's pretty typical. I mean, you're so right that the friendships are often around the kids' proximity and age and school.
Right.
And then it would just make sense. And I feel like from the outside, I feel like you're really good at making new friends. Like, don't you think you've made some new friends in the last 5 to 10 years that are,
oh, yeah,
like, become really close friends? And that's, yes, not always easy, especially when your besties have been your besties since high school.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I wonder, and maybe we have some listeners in that same stage, if that's kind of typical. Is that your?
I think it's very typical. Yeah. I think what we tend to see again with the idea, this blown up social media idea of a tribe, is that we tend to see like the subdivision moms who, yeah, are all, it seems like they all hang out together all the time.
Right.
So if you're not in one of the subdivisions, you can feel a little left out, like, oh, look at, like, it's just a constant block party all the time.
Right.
And they all vacation together in some cases. Like, there's these tight groups that can, yeah, form out of things like that. And I don't have that. I don't live in a subdivision. I,
right,
live on a city block, and my neighbors are older or single.
Yeah.
For the most part. So it just, I think it's very, very typical, but I think you can still feel like it's, you're atypical.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Before we take our quick break, I just thought, have a couple tips of, if you feel like you don't have a tribe, I just going to offer a couple final thoughts. And we've touched on these, but one is kind of redefine tribe. You mentioned your online community, Megan, and I think that can be really helpful. If there's a part of your friend life that feels less fulfilled, it may be something that can be filled online by,
yes,
joining an online community or like taking an online class.
Yep.
I'm never one to recommend that all of your relationships exist online, but I think that's a really meaningful source for inspiration, for connection. And so if there's something that's not happening for you locally, see if it exists online. And I think the reverse is true. If there's something, yeah, if you're feeling like online is where everything is, maybe doing something locally would scratch that itch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so, no, totally. And I should have mentioned that, you know, online has been a huge part of my experience as a mom.
Yeah.
Those online communities for the whole time.
Yeah.
20 years.
You were
started off
adopter.
As forums, and,
yeah,
then it kind of switched to email lists. And then now it mostly takes place on Facebook, just like everything in the world mostly takes,
right,
place on Facebook. And I think that the trick is just, you know, one thing I have heard is that there seems to be, as we see these more aspirational lifestyles and ideas kind of pushed out in our faces all the time, I feel like people's perceptions of whether it's true or not, I don't really know, but of how much they're being judged and how much like the pressure is on them keeps going up. I feel,
yep,
like moms are under more pressure than ever.
Yes.
And so I guess the word of caution is just whatever it is you're looking for, it's out there. So don't,
yeah,
you know, don't settle for a group that makes you feel bad about yourself,
yes,
or where you feel like you can't keep up. I mean, your people are online. They,
right,
are there somewhere.
Right.
You might have to work to find them, but they do exist. So
no, I absolutely agree. And my other kind of final tip on this was start by nurturing like one friendship or one activity,
yep,
because I have found, and I meant to mention this earlier, that I've never been a big group of friends person, but the times that I have found myself in a group, it's usually because of a very close friendship with one or two people. And then they might be more group oriented, or they might,
right,
be the organizers. Or so I end up in a group by default, but it wasn't because I went looking for that group. It was because I connected with one person, or I started one, you know, activity or behavior that led to the group. So,
yeah,
it's almost just like flip flopping what your goal is. Instead of having a goal to have a tribe, have a goal to really nurture one or two relationships, and you may find yourself in a tribe.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like we said before, you can always work backward. And that,
right,
that is online as well. You can be part of a big tribe, and then you can choose to really narrow it down and,
yeah,
and just invest in one or two people you really connect with.
Yeah.
Either direction can work.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break and talk about PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. And the way it works is Allison, the founder, emails you a grocery shopping list that's totally organized and easy to follow, and a prep day checklist that has you pour your glass of wine, put on your favorite podcast. Just kidding, that part's kind of optional. But what you
no,
do
it's
is
not.
you prep your meals for the week all at once. And so this is really great for families who have busy weeknights, But if you enjoy shopping and prepping and cooking for your family and just want to do it all kind of all at once, then you have your prep day and it might take a couple hours. But then the rest of the week, everything's in their nice little containers. And when you pull stuff together, you might throw it in a saute pan or toss it in the oven, but stuff is coming together really, really fast. The other thing about Prep Dish is it's really nutrition based. So there's gluten-free and paleo options. If you have goals to kind of eliminate some of the processed food and the carbs, this is definitely a good option. And you can modify anything, but the fact that that grocery list and the prep checklist is so smartly designed, you really just feel like you just have to follow it. And lo and behold, dinner's ready.
There you go. I love this because, you know, I know that I typically have a nice, relaxed Sunday. And then after that, it's crazy go nuts for the rest of the week. So if you've got that one day on the weekend or even, you know, one evening that you just have some time, you can do the prep and then the meals will come together in about 5 to 15 minutes each night once all that prep work is done. Allison, the founder, is offering listeners a free 2-week trial to try it out. It's free, so you can't beat that. So go to prepdish.com/themomhour to try Prep Dish for 2 weeks free. Again, that's prepdish.com/themomhour.
Yes, it's really, it's a game changer. This week I'm making sausage, kale, and sweet potato soup because I love the idea of just reheating soup on one night of the week. Like,
exactly.
A gift to myself. Okay. We are going to talk about the types of friends that every mom needs. And this is going to be really fun. I have to say, we threw these questions out on social media and I was really touched by the contributions from our listeners. A lot of people tagged their friends. Like they said, like, that. Oh, every mom needs the friend who da 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 da. And then they tagged the person who was that friend for them. Like that was really, really sweet.
Yeah, I love that.
So we each have, I don't know, 3 or 4, and we'll kind of volley back and forth. And then I'm going to also read some of my favorites from our listeners. So,
okay, great.
Again, I guess my disclaimer here is we're saying these are the friends that every mom needs, but maybe you don't need these types of friends and you just need to figure out what kind of friends you do need. So we're going to have fun with this. And I don't know. Do you want to go first, Megan?
Sure, I can go first. Okay, so the first friend I have is the come as you are friend. And what I mean by that is they come to you as they are or you go to them as you are and it's all cool. So, you know, sometimes there's all this pressure about having people over or bringing your people to someone else's house. Like the kids have to be dressed properly and you can't have dishes in the sink if you have people over. And everybody needs, I think, at least one person who can just see it all, like kids in sweats or you in sweats, kids hair a mess, like messy house. Doesn't matter. They can come over. You can come over. It's so casual. And there's a comfort level with that that sometimes you don't get right away. And sometimes you kind of can get there right away because you recognize the other mom is like having that hot mess side.
Yes, I totally agree. Sometimes do you also feel like this comes because a lot of our listeners mentioned this type of a friend. Do you feel like I feel like the older I've gotten and the more of a hot mess I've become, this comes quicker because I just don't have the energy to pretend.
Right.
But I do feel like this is hard in the early stages. And I feel like it takes one person to come as they are for the other person to have permission to come as they are. And that's hard.
If you do that, you know, if you either host as you are or show up as you are doing the other person such a favor. Mm-hmm. Really, you truly are. And I think you can even call it out and be like, oh, you know, this is my Monday or whatever. And then they kind of realize that like everybody has those days or that life and that they don't need to put on a pretense.
Yep.
So it's like pretense free friends that everyone needs them.
We've talked about this kind of when we talk about asking for help, like when you present yourself as a little bit vulnerable, the relationship just changes, whether it's asking for help or having people over when your floors are dirty. It's just, for some people, I think it's hard to get over, but it's worth getting over.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So my first one is the friend who knows your family of origin. So I mean the friend who has been around since you were growing up and who knows your parents or your siblings. This one became really clear to me recently. So I don't think I've talked about this on the podcast, but in December and January, my hometown was hit back to back by terrible fires and then terrible, terrible mudslides that killed 20 people in my immediate hometown, like my neighborhood where I grew up. So my family knew people who were killed in the most horrific way in a mudslide that happened in the middle of the night. And it was really traumatic. And that came on the heels of the fire, which was massive and had people evacuated. But what I found so comforting, and I do have a handful of very close friendships still that are from my growing up, but even some more like looser friendships, is people were checking in on each other's parents and their childhood homes. And it was really comforting to have people who knew my family and who knew where I had grown up. And so I don't know, Megan, you have lived nearby to people you grew up with longer than I have, whereas I moved far away for college. And then I moved far away from my college people to a different place. And then I moved from there. And I haven't moved as much as some people, but I have moved far a few times. So it was very striking how good that felt to have people texting to say, how are your parents? Or, and then vice versa. So I think that's something to think about. It's maybe like, it's not necessarily the closest friend that you're in touch with every day that's going to be like your tribe all the time, but I still think there's something really rooting in that.
There is, and it's not something you necessarily have a lot of control over once you're an adult. And, you know, depending on how your family structure has changed or how much you've moved and stuff. But if you do have that person, Facebook's a great place to find that person or those people. And I think you can just throw little nuggets out there to kind of keep the connection. Yeah. Like you said, it can be a really loose connection. Like, I can't remember what I was just reading that was talking about the importance of both tight and loose connections on health, especially, you know, as we get older, that really doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about now. But just like that idea that you do have those roots, right? And there are little things you can do to maintain those without having to stay best friends with everyone you went to high school with.
Yeah. And the other thing that happens at our ages, and, you know, your experience has been different, but, you know, people's parents start to get old and sick. And like, that's a whole new phase that a lot of our listeners are coming into, is having aging parents or family members get sick and go through things. And I don't know. I just think we no longer live in communities where you stay connected really tightly the whole time. But I agree. I think it can be as simple as Facebook. And I just was really struck by how important that felt, that there were people who knew from whence I had come. And and the flip side was, it felt really weird that I had close friends, like, say, in my town now, who had no idea what was going on. Like, it felt really weird. Like, that's such a huge part of me. Like, my town's on fire and under mud. And people I see every day and I'm pretty close to had no frame of reference for it. So that was just interesting.
Yeah, no, that's really valid. Well, this is kind of, I guess, along the same lines, but different. My next friend is the neighbor friend.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to tell you two different kinds of stories about neighbor friends. When Jacob was two and Isaac was an infant, like 2 or 3 months old, I lived in an apartment complex, and it was like a really depressing apartment complex. It was like the only thing you could walk to was a Walmart, and it was in this really sort of soulless suburb. And I was surrounded by just shopping plazas.
Yeah.
It was pretty bleak. And I was on the third floor.
Yeah.
And as anybody who knows, and it was not an elevator building. So if anybody who's lived in a third floor walk up with a toddler and a newborn is feeling my pain right now.
Yes.
And it was Minnesota. Oh. And it was February. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm setting the stage here. It was basically from the time, well, that whole first winter after he was born, we lived there. So anyway, I was pretty low. That was when I was really working hard to try to like put together this big group. But even that, I mean, just to get to them was a hassle, a huge hassle. And the weather that year was bad. And so I ended up just meeting this woman who lived down the hall. And she had two little kids around the same age as mine. And we had like nothing in common, like nothing.
Except our hallway.
Like, we didn't listen to the same music. We didn't have the same parenting style. Like we just didn't really have anything to talk about except our kids. And in a very general way, like kind of a real roundabout way, because we didn't want to get too into the nitty gritty of parenting because we were doing it so differently. But I will say that saved my life. Like, I knew her door was always open. Sometimes literally, sometimes she would just leave her door open. And so like, I would just wander down there and just have another human being to like share space with who was an adult. I remember when I was really depressed for like a month and I just let my house go. It was really bad. And I remember her coming over and being like that friend who comes in and opens the shades and is like, we're going to take care of this.
Oh, like, you know, like, that's magical.
It was super magical. And I felt like for the first time in my life, like I couldn't keep up with stuff. And that was really hard. Like I was really struggling, and having her come by and do that was amazing. And also made me feel super vulnerable. She figured out there was a reason I hadn't had her over in a month. Right. Yeah. So it wasn't like, why are you always coming here and you're never having me at your place? And then she kind of just took it in hand and figured it out. And that was really, really helpful. So now fast forward, I guess, 16 years, 18. Gosh, sorry. Fast forward 18 years to that woman you say in my life. I don't remember your name. I'm sorry, but you had really cute kids. I do remember that. Then I now have other neighbor friends, and I have a neighbor down this two doors down named Katie. She's in her early 30s. She's single. And she'll send me a text and be like, hey, come over tonight. I'll make you dinner or something like that. And I'll just go over there for like an hour. I did that last night. Just, you know, hang out with her. We talk about being single and her work and my work. And we have some overlap there. It's just really nice to have that someone. I don't have to get in my car. I don't have to plan anything. Sometimes Clara comes down with me. Sometimes it's when Clara's occupied doing other stuff. Clara really likes Katie, so she'll come hang out too. It's just, it's really fun. And I also have neighbors across the street that I know would be there. Like if I had an emergent need, I could call them and they would come over and help me with it. Like I don't do that very often. We don't hang out very often, but when I'm in the mood for some adult, you know, companionship and it's after 9 o'clock and the kids are in bed and I'm in my pajamas and I don't want to get dressed and go someplace, I know that I can text Jen and maybe go over to her house to have a glass of wine. So it's just, you know, like that proximity sometimes can mean so much more than necessarily like a perfect fit or someone you see all the time.
Well, and it can lead to the come as you are. So that's something I wanted to add, is that I really didn't have a lot of that come as you are friend. The first one you mentioned where your house is a mess. Even my very close little tribe of like new mom friends that I met in Arizona, nobody was quite walking distance, almost, but not true neighbors. And so I almost felt like I never truly got to the come as you are stage, or it took a really long time. Whereas when I moved to where I live now and have like a total neighbor tribe, you kind of have to get to the come as you are stage because people are dropping by, kids are riding bikes over. Like you just don't have time to clean up every time a neighbor drops by because there's more of them, you know, and there's more, there's more of those opportunities. I mean, so that's one thing I wanted to mention. The other thing is, I think from the outside, when you're a new mom, this neighbor thing seems more complicated because you've got babies sleeping inside, you've got nap schedules, you've got your kids aren't on bikes yet, or if they are, you're like, you have to watch them at every second. So I also think if this is something you aspire to and you're not getting it yet, it might be a stage of life thing. I mean, my neighbor tribe is amazing. That's the one group I would truly call a tribe right now, because the group text is always going. Like anyone we can, I mean, the number of things we've asked to borrow from each other is like, the running list is like hilarious. Like, can I borrow, like, does anyone have whatever, a dog bather system? No. But like, we just,
no, I'm not giving that up.
No, it's mine. But the kids run around, the garage doors are open. It's really idyllic. But I remember when my kids were really little, there was a group kind of like that in my Arizona neighborhood. And I just was totally watching from the outside because I couldn't figure out how, like, I had two babies in a stroller and like one on a trike who couldn't even pedal. Like, it's just, so I guess I'll just say, just be patient, because that might be a stage of life thing. It might not. If everyone has babies and is out in the cul-de-sac, maybe you'll have the neighbor friends when in your new mom stage too. But I didn't find it till a little later.
Can I also mention that in all cases and every single thing we're talking about here, I know it's so tempting to look for other people who are in your stage of life and have kids about roughly the same age as yours. But one of the best neighbor friends we ever had was the last house we lived in were a retired couple.
Yes.
Who lived right next door and actually threw some awesome parties. But also just, you know, Pat, my old neighbor, she used to cut my hair. And you know what a lifesaver it was for me to literally sometimes open my window and yell into the yard, Pat, I really need a haircut. But at that time I had a baby and a toddler or a baby and a preschooler. And I was like, when am I going to know I have 2 hours to set aside to get my hair done? I never had that much predictability. So sometimes it would just be like, hey, and then she'd be like, come on over. She had like a little salon set up in her living room. I would bring the baby and, you know, just kind of set her up with some toys on the floor. And that was how I got my hair done for years. And if I had not, if I had just kind of blow them off because they were 30 years older than us, and I would have missed out on, and we still keep in touch. So no, like, I would have really missed out on a great
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I have my like mom tribe in my neighborhood, but we also have two different houses of really, really awesome friends. One is a 75-year-old retired man who lives by himself and woodworks in his garage. And like my kids go over and see what he's working on in his wood shop. And then a couple in their early 50s who have one grown child and whose 94-year-old father lives with them. And that, like, we do wine nights with that group as well. And we're the only ones with young kids. So yes, I co-sign all of that for sure. Okay. So I think, is it my turn?
Yeah. Nope. Wait, is it your
You did neighbors. I just had a lot to say about it.
We're still talking about neighbors. Okay. Go back. Yep. To you.
Okay. So my next one is the friend who is either politically or socially conscious or just like really interesting, well-read. I think it's really fun to have a friend who challenges you intellectually and who maybe is outside of your main tribe, but is into things that interest you or challenge you in a different way. Does that make sense? So I have.
Yeah.
A couple of different friends like this. Actually, my friend Myra listens to the podcast, so shout out. But she is just slightly more politically and socially conscious than I am, and like does a really good job of learning about stuff. So like last year during, or whenever the election was, a year and a half ago, we made a coffee date to go through our local ballot initiatives. And like, it really forced me to like, okay, I'm going to read up on these because I'm going to hang out with Myra and she's, you know, really done her homework on this. And I don't know, it was a very, it was a really cool thing. And I always want to have people around me who are, who challenge me in that way. So it doesn't have to be, I put politically, socially conscious, but it really doesn't have to be. It could be someone who's always reading great books or who's someone who goes to really interesting like lectures around town. Like,
and maybe we'll drag you along.
Because I need to be dragged, but I'm always so glad that I am. So that's my next one. I don't know.
I love that. Well, my last one that I've got, and this can be, usually I find that this friend is also falls into another category as well.
Yeah.
So this is the drop everything to help you friend.
Mm-hmm.
And in my life, that's been the come as you are friend. It's been the neighbor friend. It's been like the loose connection friend, like the church friend, or like, you know, those loose associations that sometimes like one person will stand out as that person that you can really call if, say, you do something dumb, like run out of gas. I've done that before, by the way. The other day, my friend Katie texted me in a panic because she got her hairbrush stuck in her hair. It was one of those round brush situations.
Yeah.
Now, she ended up taking care of it before I had to run over there. But I would have dropped everything and run over because you can't go to work with a round brush sticking off of your head.
That's awesome. That's such a good example.
My friend Missy is one of those always like, there's no way if I needed her that she would ever, you know, pretend to be asleep and not see my text or anything. And I think I've told a story where she had to come get a tick off of my back because I was alone at the house with the kids and there was a tick embedded in my, my flesh. God. And I'm freaking out at the time and had to call her to come, you know, pluck it out of me with tweezers at like 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's just, and those friendships, like those are the ones you don't always know who that person's going to be till you test them.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out.
And it might, I mean, it's on the surface, it seems like, well, that would be your closest friend. But I will say that sometimes to be in a drop everything and help a friend phase, you have to be out of the weeds yourself.
Yes.
So that sometimes your closest friend, if she has a newborn, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, you're not going to want her to drop everything, and nor could she. So like I have a neighbor across the street whose kids are a little bit older. And a lot of our listeners mentioned how nice it is to have friends whose kids are a little bit older. But she's a great, first of all, she's a nurse, or she was a nurse and isn't practicing anymore. But she's a great drop everything to help you because she's home a lot. She knows everybody. She always looks at her texts. So, but she's not my closest friend, but she has come over when one of my kids had a super high fever to see if I thought she thought I should go into urgent care or not. So like the drop everything and help you may not be like your bestie even. It might just be someone who's really
available.
Available. And
also some people are great at being heroes. Like some people are great at being that person who jumps into a situation and solves it.
I agree. And that's this neighbor for sure. It's so funny.
Love that.
Well, we just have a couple more minutes, but I put all of our listener suggestions here, and literally there's like 70 of them or something. So I'm just going to call out a few that are my favorites or that made me think about something in a different way. And you guys have to check out the comments both on Instagram and Facebook, and I'll link them up in the show notes because people were just really clever and also really insightful.
Yeah.
So I'll toss out a couple. Allison on Instagram said, the friend that researches every product before buying. Everyone needs that friend. Yes. That's such a good one. In my little play group in Arizona, we had a slogan that said, when in doubt, let Stacy figure it out, which another friend came up with. That's that slogan. Awesome. But there was the friend like, Stacy will figure that out, but the rest of us will just do what she does.
Right.
So Dana, also on Instagram, said, the nurse friend you can talk to about your kid's funny looking poop or that horrible pregnancy heartburn and worse. And I have to say, I am still on the lookout for either an RN or like a pediatrician mom friend. I really do want one. I'm a little bit anxious when it comes to like my kids getting sick and stuff. And I've always wished for someone that I could text and just say, hey, I'm going to send you a picture of a rash. And like, I don't feel like I'd abuse it. I really don't. Yeah. But like, if you have a midwife friend or a nurse friend or a pediatrician friend or like an ER doctor friend, I feel like that is a gold mine.
I wish I had one.
So that's a good one. And then, Marianne said, the friend you don't have to clean your house for. I love when people tell me I'm that friend. The accept you as you are. No need for pretense, friend. It's who I aspire to be with all my friends. So we kind of touched on that. But I love that she flipped it around and says she wants to be that that for other people, which is awesome.
I love that, too.
I think I have a couple more. Oh, this is a great one from Stephanie on Facebook. She said, the friend that is the counterbalance to your negative self-talk, who tells you how great you are when you can't see it for yourself. I loved that.
And then she tagged her friend.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think this is the last one. And this is a really, I'm so glad someone brought this up. The friend who's like a second mom to your kids, adores them and looks out for them, but also isn't afraid to give them the business when they deserve it, especially when you're not around to do it for yourself.
That is so important. I feel like that should be its own episode.
Yeah, it really is. And I almost put it as one of mine. And then I felt like I'd just be stealing Elizabeth's idea because I really had kind of forgotten about that. But my kids don't have cousins and I don't have those like you do people who I have known forever. And then we have kids the same age. Mine have all come in like different phases of life. So that takes a little while. But I remember it in Arizona, especially with a couple of them who my kids could go totally comfortably to their house. You know, ask, just interact. It's really heartwarming to see your kids, especially little kids, trust another mom like their
own.
And especially if you don't have built-in aunts and uncles and grandmas right in your town.
Yep.
So I love that one.
Love that.
All right. Well, this is a good place to wrap up.
But we have a few announcements to make, right?
Always. Okay. Why don't you tell people about what we're doing with more episodes?
Yes. So we asked in our survey that I think you're going to talk about in a second, what, you know, if people would like to hear more from us, and if so, if they'd be open to like a more casual, you know, we do the More Than Mom episodes every now and then. And those typically we kind of have run them sort of like a regular episode, but we just talk about topics that aren't related to directly to motherhood and kids. Mm-hmm. So maybe we ain't talk about fashion or whatever. And so we decided, based on your very enthusiastic feedback, that we're going to have a new semi-regular segment series called the More Than Mom. There's More Than Mom episodes.
Yeah. So, but they'll be separate episodes.
They'll be separate episodes. Yeah. So they'll still be in the main feed, but they won't be. We're not going to number them the same way, are we?
No. We're not going to drop them on Tuesdays. So they won't take the place of our regular weekly show. They'll be an addition.
They're an addition. They are a bonus.
Yeah.
And so the very first one will come out this Sunday. That's the 25th of February, if you're actually listening to this when it comes out. And we're talking about beauty product nostalgia. I'm so excited about this one because it's just, we're just treating these really casually. They're a little shorter and we're just having fun. Like we're just riffing on I'm running the show on this one. I'm not letting Sarah drive the bus and make an outline. It's basically like we just get on the mic and whatever comes to our heads, we say.
On us talking about 90s beauty products.
Exactly.
And I will say, with the survey going and you guys emailing us, we know that that might not be everyone's cup of tea because some of you really are here for the nuts and bolts parenting advice, which is why separating them out really gives you the option. So I feel like we have to say this every so often. Like, it's okay if you don't love everything we do. Like, that's what the survey reveals. And we're totally cool with that. Like, we want you to get from this show
what you need from it.
So if us talking about Bonnie Bell lip balm for 30 minutes is not.
We really do spend a lot of time talking about Bonnie Bell lip balm.
Then we won't be offended. We won't even know, actually.
We'll have no idea. Yeah.
But then that way, like, if you like more of that, more Megan and Sarah, more than mom, those will drop on Sundays periodically. We'll see how regular the schedule gets, but it'll be fun. And then, as we just mentioned, our survey is still going. It doesn't take very long. It makes us really happy when you fill it out, and it lets us know everything from how old your kids are, what stage of motherhood you're in, to what kind of, what are your favorite types of episodes. Some of the answers surprise us, and we absolutely use that information to help grow the show in everything that we do, how we run it as a business, how we work with our sponsors. So it's kind of your chance to tell us what you really think. And it'll be up for a couple more weeks. And you just get to it by going to themomhour.com. Look for the link in the show notes. And I'm also sharing it pretty frequently on social media. So if you've been meaning to, there's still time and we would really appreciate it.
Yeah. Great.
All right. Well, we will talk to you guys this Sunday in our More
this
Than
Sunday.
Mom.
Ah,
and exciting. Then we'll be back next Tuesday as always. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.